Good morning, Boyd. Hello.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
Thank you for joining me. Susie, there's a department policy that says parent fees and their contributions, they're supposed to be voluntary, but do you think schools are actually respecting this policy?
Yeah, that would be a no. Within Gladys Berejiklian's election campaign, she actually came out, and we have it quite clearly a couple of times, where she says that parents sending their children to public school should not be paying anything. So there should not be any fees. And that's what she stated. Voluntary fees, the nature of the voluntary fee seems to be getting obscured. It's a small number, but it's increasing every year. And we've got some schools that are actually charging parents over $1,000 a term. So that's not a year. So it's $4,000 per year to send their children to public school, which is outrageous.
$4,000, it kind of like blurs the line between a public and a private school when you're paying that much money.
Pretty much.
We
recognise that some parents have the ability to do it and they want to contribute to the schools, and that's great. If you have the ability and you want to do it, you should be doing it. We're all for choice. But where the schools are blurring the lines, kind of hiding the fact that it is voluntary, the parents don't need to provide that money. And in some cases where debt collectors have been called on parents over debts from voluntary fees, regardless of whether it was accidental or not, it's just not good. It's not good enough.
Debt collectors over sending your child to school. That's disgusting.
Yeah. That was a bizarre case.
Well, how can these fees affect vulnerable families besides these debt collectors?
Oh, it's a huge, like, anybody who's been hounded by just your school about, you know, overdue fees, it means that parent is going to withdraw, disengage from the school, and they're less likely to attend parent-teacher interviews, view what their children are doing at school. So not only are we getting the whole parent trying to stay away from the school that they feel is now chasing them for a debt, which is a voluntary contribution, we're also getting the fact that if parents don't engage with their children, it's a researched fact that the more engagement with your school, positive engagement with your school, the better outcomes for the children. The children believe that the, you know, education is valued by their parents. It's actually keeping parents away from school just because they can't afford to pay for it.
Well, what could the government and the education department do to improve how parents are approaching and able to afford sending their kids to school?
Well, number one, in regards to money, the government could fund our schools properly. Like you no doubt would have heard of the Gonski review that was done federally across, you know, Australia, and they came up with a minimum standard. They call it an SRS, a student resource amount that a child needs in order to actually receive a quality education. And the schools in New South Wales, public schools in New South Wales, will never actually receive that, because where our fees, the amount of money that goes into public schools, is not equivalent to the amount that goes into private. And so, therefore, we're never going to get that SRS, because 4% of ours goes off to pay for the New South Wales Education Standards Authority. And those figures are quite, it might just be 4%, but it's a huge amount of our budget. And our parents, rightly so, they want to contribute where they can, but where the wrong part is, where it is low SES, and this actually started out in the drought-affected areas of New South Wales. The parents out there were really finding it tough, and they felt bad because they couldn't contribute to their schools. But we do have some schools, and within the education department, they really need to streamline, A, the way they ask for the money, and B, what they're actually asking for. Like asking parents to contribute to paper funds, that's wrong. Asking parents to contribute to water funds, again, heating, cooling, water, essential public education is supposed to provide the essential necessities for education, and not ask parents for toilet paper, tissues. And we've had schools that are reporting these things in, and it's just like, I do see where how the schools need the equipment, but it's at the government's door. They should be the ones paying for it. And I don't want to drive the private public school debate any even further, but they get more than us. The public get less than what private does. And I've got private school friends, or friends who have got their children in private school, and they say, we pay taxes and we should get money as well. But they actually get over and above what we get. So therefore, they're getting more than they should. It's not fair. It's definitely not equitable. And it's actually driving a wedge between the private and public areas further and further apart, because they want to hold on to what they've got, and we get that. But it isn't fair. And if you drill down to the fact of the matter is, our children are getting roughly $600 per student in that area per year from our government, whereas private school kids are getting approximately $2,000. I think it's between $2,000 and $2,800 per year to fund their education.
Gosh, that is such a big gulf. What is the future of public education where no fees or even voluntary fees are expected? Are we expecting this to get even worse in the future?
Well, the trajectory looks like it's going to get worse. It doesn't seem to be getting any better, regardless of the amount of conversations that we've had, and we see politicians, and every election, everybody bandies education around like a football. We're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. When it comes down to the crunch at the end of the day, there's just generally huge amounts of backpedaling. Oh, no, we looked at the budget and we couldn't quite afford what we promised to give you, so we're going to give you this. Yet it's public education that always ends up at the bottom of that heap. We're the last ones on the to be thought of when they're dishing out the funding. It appears that way anyway. Mm-hmm. And it certainly looks at when you can see that other schools have got, you know, 2-3 pools, 3D photocopiers throughout their school. When I've got some schools that are telling me, oh my gosh, we got our first 3D photocopier the other day. It's so fantastic. I sat in a PNC meeting the other week where a school body was deciding whether they were going to purchase playground equipment or a whiteboard, an interactive whiteboard for their class. And it's the interactive whiteboard is 21st century learning, to be interactive with other schools, with other countries, just to learn better. These children should have had that whiteboard. Like, it should have been provided to them. And then somebody pops up that there's contaminated land and they'd like to spend their fundraising money on covering the asbestos-clad land out the back, because although the apparently it's been dug down deep enough that it's seen as safe.
Well, I mean,
for peace of mind, they're told you should throw a slab of concrete across.
Well, I mean, it's such a very unfair gulf, and not to get into that debate versus public versus private, but you know, the argument should be, you know, private schools should be getting money to even be able to afford these basic necessities for kids' education, because you don't want people to fall behind. It's very unfair. Susie, I'm going to have to leave it there. Sorry. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Not a worry. Thanks for having me, Nathaniel.